The Apostle Paul reminds the Ephesian church that the Lord Jesus came and preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, says Paul, both Gentiles and Jew have access in one spirit to the Father. Friends, though we were far off, that's the access to the Father we celebrate together through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated. I invite you to join in song now in the hymn, Come, Let Us to the Lord Our God. Please be seated. I want to say welcome to you. Thanks for joining us in person here at Scots Church in the heart of Melbourne. Welcome to those who are joining us online. As I look down the camera over there, it's good to have you with us too via live streaming on YouTube. If you are new to Scots, please let us know about your visit on the introduction card or scan the QR code. We would love to be in touch and keep you informed about life here at Scots. Also, please join us afterwards for a cuppa on the mezzanine floor in the Westpac building behind me. Midweek small groups are on again this Tuesday night, starting with a light meal from 6:30 p.m. Perfect if you're coming straight from work to join us. We're working together through a series of videos called The Bible Project, with discussion groups following that, finishing at 8:30 p.m. So a nice brief evening on Tuesdays. Please join us. As part of our small groups program, we also run occasional seminars. And on Tuesday, June 18th, it's Reverend Dr. Michael Jensen and journalist Barney Swartz launching Michael's book, which is called Subjects and Citizens, The Politics of the Gospel. He takes a very balanced and sensible view on that issue, and one which is much needed, I think. So please join us, all welcome. And if you could RSVP to Justin, that would be helpful as we organise. Finally, this Thursday, we're running an experimental service we're calling Vespers. If you could turn up around 5:30 p.m. again after work, we'll be kicking off at 5:45 p.m. sharp. It's an ancient tradition, Vespers, sometimes called Evensong, and we'll be adding a few fresh angles too. Something I've been wanting to try out for the last few years, and we're finally launching this week. And we're praying that we'll connect with a whole new generation of city workers, but it's worth coming in especially, even if you don't work in the CBD, and then plan to stay and join for a brief social time afterwards next door at the Crafty Squire. We're going to sing again now, Jesus Calls Us. Please be seated and do please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God of heaven, you are seated far above the tumult of our daily lives and complications, a heavenly serenity that calls into calm the wild and restless seas of our daily lives and struggles. Give us, we pray, a due sense of all your mercies, and a fresh perspective as we gather today, with an ability to rest our hearts in the promise of your heavenly rest. Comfort, we pray, those who grieve. Give peace to those who contend daily with inner turmoil and stress. Encourage those who are caught in a cycle of despair. Bear up those who struggle with unemployment or addiction, or with poverty and the inability to get ahead. And in all of our joys and sorrows, help us to hear and heed the call to trust and love our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, choir. Kids, it's time to head off for kids' church now. Meet your leaders at the back. And during the next hymn, your offerings will be received. Blessings and honour is our hymn.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God our Father, you alone are all-knowing, present and powerful. You are the creator of all things. We praise you, we give thanks to you, Lord. So we gather for Holy Communion this morning. We are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternal life. May your Holy Spirit purify and fill our hearts with your truth, so we may love you sincerely and truthfully. Heavenly Father, with your presence and power, we seek blessings, guidance, and protection for your church across our city, suburbs, country, and the world, that you would empower your church to bring hope to our divided world and to be a beacon of light in times of darkness. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lead your church to acknowledge you in all they do and to unite us in our missions. Loving God, bless and guide the Scots ministry team, and including our church leaders, our elders, the music ministry, our music director, choir members, organist, admin staff, and volunteers. And we are grateful for their families' support and faithfulness. We pray for strength and joy for the entire Scots and Scots communities and constituents as they love and serve you and love and serve one another. Holy Spirit of God, please help us be open-hearted and attentive as we hear your word and the sermon today. Give our ministers courage, clarity, and wisdom as they preach at Scots this morning and Scots City this afternoon, and grant us knowledge and understanding of your will, we pray. We pray for Scots ministry and activities throughout this month and year. This includes the Tuesday small groups, the upcoming Vespers on Thursday, on June the 6th, and Scott's seminar program with Reverend Dr. Michael Jensen on June the 18th, and all other events planned for this year. We are thankful for those who regularly attend the small groups, Bible study, church meetings, or Sunday prayer groups. Lord God, please help us all understand your purpose and plan so that we may confidently share your love, trusting in you, and all for your glory, honor, and praise. Bless our mission partners and the joint mission at Flemington with your presence, providence, protection, and peace. May our thoughts, words, and actions declare your greatness, holiness, and goodness. May what we do be pleasing to you, and may many people come to know you and worship you in spirit and truth. Lord Jesus, we ask for comfort, healing, and peace for those in ill health in our church community or their beloved families. We remember Helen Holman, Beverly Abilene, and Sheila Nair. We are grateful for the strength you've given them and pray for a speedy and full recovery. May they feel and know your presence and be comforted in their time of need. And we pray also for the victims of the recent landslide in Papua New Guinea, asking for your comfort, strength, and healing for those affected and for wisdom for the government to aid them safely. God of all nations, we pray for all those suffering from war. We continue to pray for love, justice, understanding, forgiveness, and reconciliation to be the foundation in Ukraine, in Burma, in Gaza, so that everyone can live freely and with dignity together. Please help Christians endure the hardship of war, that you would sustain them with their faith in you and hope in Jesus, our living hope. And now, loving God, accept our free will offerings and tithes, and those who give electronically, that you would grant that with our gifts, we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit, show forth in our lives the truth of the gospel. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 44. You can follow along in your order of service. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's second Bible reading is from Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rachel, my most favorite reader in the whole wide world. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, and for the fact he came into this world not to condemn, but to show love and to love and bless the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been on the outside? I have. Growing up in Sydney as an ABC, that's Australian-born Chinese, in the Sutherland Shire, and if you don't know where that is, according to the last census, it's the place with the lowest migrant rate in the whole of Australia. I was one of three Asians in my year. But when I went to high school and university, suddenly I was on the inside. We can feel on the outside in relationships. We can feel ourselves on the outside in our society, because the haves, between the haves and the have-nots, home ownership in the younger generations has collapsed. That's being on the outside. But consider the flip side. How do you treat those who are on the outside? Those who may be different from you, from a different background, a different perspective. Perhaps they are different to you because they're your enemy. Those who are on the outside. Today we're looking at Luke 4, where Jesus announces his mission, his purpose. It's the start of his ministry. And to set the scene from the previous chapter, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit, which comes down on him like a dove, where the voice from heaven speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's driven out into the wilderness, and he's tempted by the devil. And then clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus goes back to his hometown, back to Nazareth, in the area of Galilee, where he grew up with his parents, Joseph and Mary, and his other brothers and sisters. And the question is, what's he about to do? This is the start of his ministry, the launch. Jesus enters into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he chooses to read aloud from the passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Let's have a look at the passage. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" And so imagine yourself in the crowd. You're a Jew, likely to be poor, because you're in Nazareth, the rich live in Jerusalem. Your ancestors, you know the trouble they went through to come back from Babylon. You're oppressed, oppressed by the Roman Empire, who are ruling over Israel. And suddenly Jesus speaks from Isaiah. You hear this quote. How would you feel? Likely you'd feel excitement. You'd feel hope, because Jesus is reading from Isaiah, a quote from Isaiah 61, a passage about hope for a people who have come back from exile, from Babylon. And you think, wow, finally, some good news. Finally, there'll be liberty. Finally, there's going to be freedom. Because all you've ever known is oppression. And now you hear Jesus talk about liberty. You see it there in verse 18, twice. In fact, the Greek word there means release. And actually, it's a reference to the Old Testament practice of the year of Jubilee from Leviticus 25, which only occurred in the nation of Israel, which is supposed to occur every 50 years, where land that was yours by birthright, if you had lost it, if you had sold it, would come back to you, where all debts were wiped clean, where if you were a slave, meant that you were free, set free to return to your community, a sign of God's liberating justice. Bible commentator C.B. Samuel says this about Jubilee for Israel. Jubilee was a recovery of identity, especially for the poor. It is not about simply correcting economic problems, which is very important, not even just caring for the poor because they are poor, but it is restoring identity, which is a part of their history and very important for them. Jubilee operated as a corrective because people were tight-fisted and hard-hearted. A reset. That was what the nation of Israel was supposed to practice every 50 years. Except they never really did it because it was always too costly. So imagine hearing that, Jesus reading from the prophet Isaiah, and then he sits down. And then he says this next thing, have a look. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The crowd in the synagogue have been looking at Jesus and he says that. And truly it's an incredible comment to make by Jesus. Because the Israelites had been waiting for God's Messiah, God's chosen one, the one who would set them free, the one who would save them from their enemies. And Jesus says, I have arrived. Today the scriptures are fulfilled. The promises that were made through Isaiah hundreds of years earlier have finally reached their fulfillment. In me. But here's where things turn. Because for those listening, it would have changed from surprise to downright shock. Let's have a look. Verse 22. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And he said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. This is probably something they really wanted to see. They're amazed at the stories they've heard. Jesus, please show us a miracle. May you heal the blind. May they see. May the poor be set free. You're the hope of our nation, because we are poor. We are the ones that need release. We need the year of Jubilee. So show us what you can do. But look at what Jesus says next, because this is the reason. This is the reason there's a change from surprise to downright anger. Have a look, verse 24. And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. But when they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff." What's Jesus' point here? What's happening? Jesus gives the example of two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. But notice, who do they go to? Do they go to heal Israelites? Or do they go to Gentile outsiders? Gentiles. Elijah goes to Zarephath, a widow from Sidon, a Gentile. And Jesus makes the point even more emphatic, doesn't he? Because he says that there were many widows when Elijah was around. Elijah could have gone to any of them, but he only goes to Zarephath, to an outsider. Elijah goes beyond Israel as well. Sorry, the same for Elisha. Elisha, he goes to Naaman, the Syrian, a Gentile, an outsider. In fact, one of Israel's sworn enemies. Even when there were plenty of lepers in Israel at the time, Elisha goes beyond Israel. Both Elijah and Elisha, two great prophets, going beyond Israel to go to the outsider, to the Gentiles. There's a theme that you see in the Bible through the scriptures. In fact, we've seen it in the book of Acts in the last couple of weeks. The great apostles, Paul and Peter, going beyond the Israelites, beyond the Jews, going to the outsider. And they shouldn't have been so surprised, because Jesus here, setting the scene. Jesus, the great prophet, hinting that he's not just for Israelites. He's not there just for his hometown. In fact, he shows his hometown that their expectations are too narrow. They thought it was freedom from Rome they needed, freedom from economic oppression, political freedom. But Jesus shows them that the good news to the poor is much greater than that. Because when he travels from Nazareth to Capernaum, what does he do? He brings good news to the poor. He heals the man with the unclean spirit by rebuking the unclean spirit. He heals Simon's mother-in-law by rebuking the illness. And here's the point. Jesus shows that the poor aren't just the Israelites. The poor aren't just the materially poor. The poor includes those of low social status. It includes those of poor physical health. It includes those of poor spiritual health. Those who were Israel's enemies. That the good news was for the outsider. When you read about the poor in Luke's gospel, he's referring to poor in terms of whole of life circumstances. He's talking holistically, spiritually, physically, materially, socially. And it's why his hometown gets angry. Because Jesus is for the outsider. As author Danielle Stroer says in her book, The Boundary-Breaking God, right from the start, when those famous wise men follow the star from the east, from the very beginning of Jesus' life on earth, God makes it clear this Messiah is going to muddy the lines between who is in and who is out. The story of the Magi is a story of God's expanding love from the viewpoint of unexpected outsiders. Time and time again, Jesus goes to those who are not Jews, to the outsider. There are foreigners at his birth. Foreigners ask him for help. The Roman soldier who asks Jesus to heal his sick servant. Jesus goes and touches lepers to heal them, even when they're unclean. Jesus goes to an area called the Decapolis, in an area of Galilee, deep in Gentile territory, to heal. Time and time again, Jesus goes where no Israelite would go, to the Gentile, to the poor, to the sick, to the outsider, not to condemn, not to judge, but to bless and to show love. Because Jesus was merely doing what Israel was meant to do. Jesus was being a blessing to those who were different. Because Israel was meant to be a blessing to those who were different, to the poor. Israel was meant to be a blessing to the nations. It's the promise that God makes to Abraham. Have a look at the screen. Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel, to be a blessing to the nations of the world, but only as they were obedient to God. There are moments, though, when you look at Israel's history, when Israel obeys God, when you catch glimpses of that blessing, King David, King Solomon, brief moments in their kingship when they turn to God and the nation of Israel thrives. The nation of Israel becomes a blessing. Even the Queen of Sheba visits Solomon to marvel at his wisdom. And yet, both David and Solomon fail. The Israelites disobedient to God, and the blessings to the nations doesn't occur. But along comes Jesus. And we see that Jesus does what Israel doesn't do. His perfect obedience to God. And we see the blessings to the outsider. I wanted to ask, if I may, whether any of you are Jewish in background. I suspect that many of us, if not all of us, are Gentile Christians. You and I are outsiders. We are part of the poor that Luke is talking about. Paul talks to the Gentiles in Ephesus, and this is for us as well, and he says to us, once you were dead, following the ways of the world, once you were strangers, separated from Jesus, strangers and aliens on the outside, once you were far off, as Phil prayed earlier, strangers to the covenant. Do you know what it's like to be on the outside? Because you and I were on the outside. But you know the story. Jesus chose to step outside, rejected, despised, scorned by men, becoming a man of sorrows so that we might be brought in. Once we were far off, but now we have been brought into the family of God. And this is by grace through faith, not by any works. Now let me ask you the question again. How do you treat those who are on the outside? The poor, the spiritually poor, physically poor, materially poor, socially poor. You can put up walls. Oh, this person doesn't deserve the grace of God because she supports a different political party to me. This person doesn't deserve the grace of God because they're poor and homeless. This person doesn't deserve the grace of God because they're my enemy. Or they support a different football team to me. This person doesn't deserve the grace of God because... And you can fill in the blank. But I would suggest then that you've completely missed the point of grace. Grace, by its very definition, is undeserved. You don't deserve grace, the undeserved favor of God. That is what the Jews missed. And that's something we can easily miss as well. But Jesus now, as we continue in our series in Acts, as we see, is now for all nations. There is neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we were once far off. We were dead. We were living according to the ways of the world. But through Christ, your Son, because you loved us, he came into this world that he might save us, that we might be brought into the family of yours, that we might have a new status and a new hope. Heavenly Father, please remind us that once we were on the outside, but now we are on the in. And please help us to show love to those who are on the outside, those who are poor. Because once we were beggars, and we're just showing other beggars where the bread is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of the elders of Scots Church, I want to welcome you to share this morning in the Lord's table. This practice of communion is a sacrament, which means it's an outward sign of an invisible reality. We do things in this physical world that point to and mirror things of spiritual reality. In this sacrament, we feast with joy in the presence of the Father. We are nourished by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who is our life. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, these acts strengthen the Christian and affirm our communion with Christ himself. This is the Lord's table and a meal for everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Lord. The Apostles' Creed is printed in your order of service. Let's stand and declare together that faith. I I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, no matter how far off people were, as we've heard, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. As they shared the Passover meal that night, we're told that Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And so, Lord, we remember all your mighty and merciful acts. We take this bread and this wine from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Amen. Our elders and other leaders are going to serve you now. As you're served, please enjoy the music and take some time to reflect. We will then eat together as one body after everyone has been served. Eat and remember that Christ's body was broken for you. He has died and has risen for you. Drink and remember that the blood of Christ was shed for you, and in your hearts be thankful. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. As we reflect again on the one who came to seek and save the lost, who turned his heart toward the poor, the sinner, and the outcast, through the giving of his body to death for us, and who was glorified in his victory over death, we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to draw us together as one body in love, and send us from here with renewed compassion to love and serve the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. In response, let's sing our final hymn. We sing the praise. Receive the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace.